Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio program, 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. If you want to, you can call that number, get on the air. You can text that number. And if you text that number, we'll read it on the air. You can also tweet us at the Rob Brown Show. At Lonzo on Word, at the Fan Up State. If you want to get to everybody on the station, that's a good way to do it. You can also join us on our live stream. Our live stream is available for you at Facebook.com/TheFanUpState, The Fan Up State on Twitter, The Fan Up State on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch, because we're young, cool, hip, and definitely still got it. Hit us up. Give us your thoughts. We talked a little bit about Cade Klubnik in that last segment after the loss to Georgia Tech this weekend. We will obviously talk more about that. Coming up later on in the show, we're going to talk about Lenoris Sellers as we wait for more information about his availability before a road trip to Mizzou that, as far as I am concerned, if this team wants any chance to try to backdoor their way into the playoffs by being a spectacular football team down the stretch, is a must win. It's a must win. I already think you are effectively eliminated. I said coming in 5-0 or bust. 5-0 or you're not making it. But definitely not going to get there if you end up with a road loss. On the road in the Battle of the Columbias. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a little while as well. But we got a lot we got to get to, including our audio blitz. We got coming up for you in this hour of the radio program. We've got your audio blitz here. Then in the very next segment, we will talk with former professional Major League Baseball player Cody Decker and former co-host of Rob Brown, still active friend. He and I are looking at whatever we're going to do next together. We'll get you some details when we get there, but we'll have Cody Decker joining us next as we are inching ever closer to the MLB postseason. The Philadelphia Phillies claimed the NL East crown last night. Are the Phillies out of the NL East a genuine World Series contender? And fair or foul for Braves fans to have any level of expectations, anticipation, or optimism about the 2026 baseball season? We will talk about that coming up with Cody Decker in the very next segment of the show. So, all of that being said, let's get some sound up in this biz nasty. Let us start here on the audio blitz. Walker Buehler, speaking of the Philadelphia Phillies, is a Philadelphia Phillies. He's a pitcher. And he was asked about his opinion on automatic balls and strikes, and I have never heard words turn into, in my head, it's like that scene from South Park where Kyle starts to get really cynical and jaded, and music, pop music, young people music, just starts to sound progressively more like a fart sound in his ears. That's this answer from Walker Buehler. That's the biggest load of steaming horse manure I have ever heard, Walker. Respectfully. That's the biggest load of horse turds I've ever heard via audio in my life.
How do they position it on the plate? Is there like a certain height that is the exact height of a strike zone? And doesn't that vary per player? Or is it always?
Yes, and it takes that into consideration. That's the thing.
How does it do that? Does it know the height? I've never really thought about this before, so I'm asking this question.
I know that.
Does the computer look at the height, or do they know the heights of the player ahead of time?
The computer,
height doesn't, because when you get down your stance, you're shorter than what your height is, so.
It doesn't change the strike zone. The strike zone is the strike zone when you are standing. You can crouch down. I forget who the dude was, but there was a player, Dan Uggla. Dan Uggla, back when he was playing, I think, for the Yankees back in the day. Dramatic acting on the stream. You're welcome. Dan Uggla, when he would go to the plate, Zoe, was like, he was like 5'11". Like, he wasn't a big dude, but he had a batting stance where he would do this. Legitimately, he was like crouched. It was unbelievable. And a lot of people used to get mad because, like, a ball would come whizzing past.
I commend your ability to
it hurt. I regret it.
To stand back up after bending at the knees.
I regret it, but those are the lengths that I will go to make a point, all right? I'm just that petty. Dan Uggla, like, they used to get mad because the ball would go whizzing past his nose and the umpire would call up a strike. And they'd be like, yo, it hit his nose. It's like, yeah, not if he was standing up like an adult, it wouldn't have. Yeah, he's crouched down like he's trying to hide from an incoming mortar blast. Of course that looks like it's a ball. When he stands up, it's a strike. There are cameras all the way around this thing, and they have got it from every single angle. It's to a friend. And as far as his, we don't even know if it's over the plate. Yeah, we do. That's literally the point. That's literally the point. And then there's at the beginning. You know, I think certain guys should get strikes that other guys don't get. Now, screw that, dude. Screw that. You know, us guys that are older in the league, we should get more of a strike. No!
So you're against, Rob Brown, you're against star treatment.
Yes! That's not new.
Wow.
That's not new.
You can't call things down the middle for every sport. There are some people who are on a higher level than other people, and they should get better treatment.
You know how yesterday I said sometimes my sarcasm detector doesn't go off on Lonzo? It is pinging like the alarm system in the Enterprise having a photon torpedo shot at it right now.
I'm also smiling, and it hurts.
You deserve it. That's the dumbest answer. Listen, there's a lot of ways to go anti-ABS if you're a pitcher. That's not one. That's just not one. And do you know why I don't give a good gosh darn Rudy Patootie about if the umpires union is happy? Because C.B. Buckner's still employed. To this day, C.B. Buckner is still employed. That's a joke.
So you're saying you're anti-union?
No. I am anti people who are bad at their job being allowed to continue being bad at their job.
I have, this is the first time in a while that I'm actually concerned about you throwing something at me.
Nah, not today. That's too much effort for me right now. Carolina Panther offensive coordinator Brad Idzik. Why don't the Panthers run the tush push?
He said short edge.
My dude.
He said short edge.
My dude is fighting for his bleeping life, not to say. Because Jalen Hurts can squat a Buick and Bryce Young is 200 pounds out of the bathtub. Like, he is doing everything in his friggin' life. Not to say because Bryce Young will get squashed like a bug.
There's only a handful of quarterbacks in the NFL who can successfully do the tush push because of how strong they are.
Yeah.
It has to do with that. Height doesn't mean anything in this case. Height probably would help Bryce Young underneath, but you got to have the strength to push forward, and he just doesn't weigh enough to have any.
Look, the question.
Do we know how much Bryce squats?
I promise you, it's not what Jalen Hurts squats. I promise you. The funny thing about this is every year. Every year we have these conversations about, the tush push and why does it work? How does Philly do it? Nobody else can. The answer is, again, because Jalen Hurts can squat a Chevrolet. That's it. The reason that play works is because this dude can squat a defensive line. The number of quarterbacks who can do that, it's pretty much him. It's not that, it's not as complicated as people are making it out to be. My defense and my offense, or my offensive line, creates a draw with the D-line. Just don't get pushed backwards. As long as you can create a stalemate at the offensive line. If you create a stalemate with the defensive line, then we're going to have Jalen Hurts squatting 598,000 pounds, putting his helmet into your booty cheeks. Everybody's going forward at that point. That's all it is. It's not that complicated. It's really not. After a win by the Philadelphia Eagles just a few days ago, their head coach, Nick Sirianni, who I have to tell you, this cat has grown on me quite a lot. I despise everything Philadelphia sports. I just despise everything Philadelphia sports. Not Nick Sirianni. Philly gets the dub over Kansas City, and he drops a, everybody in the 313, put your mother hands up if you follow me.
Are they in the 313?
No, they're not. Okay, but he's quoting M.
No, I get that, but I mean, so that does, what?
That line would hit harder if they were in Detroit.
Okay,
yeah. It would hit harder if they were in Detroit. But the fact that Sirianni's walking through the hallway quoting M to the team in the media, and everybody's just bought into it. Like, everybody's there is like, hey, it's great. It's great. It's like the whitest rap battle of all time. Subscribe. Nick Sirianni is kind of a G, man. Like, I can't stand the Philadelphia Eagles. I kind of really like Nick Sirianni, like, a lot. I kind of like him, like, a lot. All right, I got one more for you, and then we got to run to a break because Cody Decker coming to us next. This is completely unsports related, and I do not care. I try to avoid to some degree, though not exclusively, unless it is just special. I try to avoid AI-generated content. AI-generated content that is, like, not good. But sometimes it's good. There's a cat on TikTok who goes by the handle Mr. Professor 318. His name is Nick Harrison. And this dude takes music and he, like, reimagines it completely away from what the artist did with it. And one of the things that he's been on a kick lately is taking, like, heavy rock music and converting it into different genres to see where it works and where it doesn't. And he came up with this. If you don't think this is a banger, I don't know what to tell you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I am anti-AI music, except this.
What style is this?
It's like soul, man. It's like soul.
It could be almost gospel.
Sure.
I was trying to think, is he trying to make it sound like Luther Vandross?
I'm trying
to think of who the voice is.
So it's like I said, it's AI.
Does he get specific with who he wants it to sound like?
No, okay. it's like genre switching, all right? So it's like genre switching. If that's not it for you, I don't know what it is. That's a banger. And I'm very...
He could have picked a harder rock song. I mean, that's
already... He does. He does a bunch
of
them.
Okay, because that's
but
already...
But that's Creed. Of course I'm going with it.
It's already a ballad, so I mean...
That's
know.
I don't even think that's ballad. That's just like that's just soul.
Inspirational, I suppose.
Here's the thing. I see people using AI on the internet, and while I am not anti-AI.
Yeah, we know that.
I think I have reached, I am anti most of y'all having the power of AI. That, I think that's where I'm at. Because I see some of the stuff that's created on social media by AI. And it has been labeled, as is pointed out here by James on the live stream, AI is mostly slop. Like, it has been labeled as AI slop. It is when people just enter stuff into a prompt and AI spits out something and then they run as if they have created this wonderful masterpiece. And it's like, the one spot that I think I take issue with AI, like, AI should be data-driven and it should be for progression. It should not be for uncreative people to suddenly think that they are the Da Vinci of our time. You're not. You're not. Stop.
So you don't consider, like in this case, that being the brush of a painter, the AI being the brush of a painter?
No.
Because it's being guided by someone being creative.
The brush of a painter must be used by the painter to be brushed to do a thing. And I don't even mind
but,
you.
But he's
I
using
don't
a tool unless the AI is doing all the work.
It does. Like, well, I'll scratch that. This guy, from what I understand, the whole process is he asks the AI to kind of like lay it out, but then he goes in and he like tracks the, like he doesn't play the music. Like, that's the thing, right? I can't play trombone, but what I can do is
you
I can.
You can too play trombone.
Okay, I'm him.
Okay.
He can't all play, right. Say, trombone, but if he wants trombone in there, you can go utilize the computer to create. You still got to make the music. You may not have to actually play the instrument.
All right. So in this case, he would have to hear the instrument and go, you know what this needs? This needs this. So he is using the AI as a tool for his creativity.
As a tool. But that is different from the people who are like, do me a favor and make me an AI-generated image of Hulk Hogan as an angel. And it's like, you didn't do anything, dude.
Wow, where did
you didn't
pull
do
that
anything. Because I saw it literally this morning, and I'm like, okay. We got to stop with this stuff. Like, because some of y'all are getting.
How big was his wings?
Were they like
Kewpie wings, or were they?
They were bigger than all the other angel, brother. I'll tell you that. I got 17-inch pythons on my wings, brother. Like, it's just, we got to stop. Like, we got to stop, dude. Please,
you know,
I'm begging you.
We like reversed roles there. I defended AI, and you went against it.
I think AI is good. Like, Walker Bueller, you're dead ass wrong. AI, so that we can just get balls and strikes, right? Good.
Segway.
Absolutely, it's a segue. Because joining us in the very next segment is the man, a myth, a legend, an icon, a titan of the industry, my friend, my former co-host, and maybe soon to be co-host again. We're working on some stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, the illustrious, and without blowing his head up too big, very handsome, Cody Decker in the very next segment of The Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, three Saturdays ago, an era of broadcasting came to its conclusion with the final episode of Bet for the Cycle aired on the BetMGM network. However, some things good must pass for some things better to come to be, which is why, whether he wants to or not, remaining in the Rob Brown orbit is going to be a friend, a family member, a legend, an icon, a titan of the industry. Joining us now on the show, former Major League Baseball player, broadcaster on like 77 different outlets, depending on what day and time you check him out. The legendary, the iconic Cody Decker joining us back on the show to talk a little baseball. How you doing, you handsome son of a gun?
Robert Brown, I love you to death. My former official co-host of a show called Bet for the Cycle on the BetMGM Network that no longer exists. But my man, looking at your face and your head right now, you are stunning. You are in shape. You cut your hair. Thus, you have no more superpowers. That's the Samson power. And honestly, I'm looking at your shorter hair. It's not that I dislike it. I do. That's not the point. My point is you had the best hair in this industry. What are you doing, my guy?
Number one, I couldn't compete with Lonzo. Number two, the wife didn't like it.
Fine. I agree with Lonzo's hair. Lonzo looks like he's been at a Grateful Dead concert for the last 4 years, which, by the way, is a high compliment. I can't stress this enough. I'm a deadhead myself. If I could grow Lonzo's hair, I would grow it too. But Rob, you had like thick, dark locks. You were running in there like Big Daddy Cool Diesel in the heyday of Big Daddy Cool Diesel. I'm talking 1995 Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
No, I agree with everything you said. Also, the gray was becoming ridiculously prevalent. Mm-hmm. Which is problematic for me.
It was distinguished, man. I loved how that gray. I wish I could. My hair is just going to turn white. The gray looked good.
I don't disagree with that either. I'm just not. It's like there's a difference between I disagree with that and I accept the reality of it. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to sit here and listen to this. Not. I was going gray. You know how excited I was to go gray? Do you have any clue how happy I was to get my sweet, sweet, like Hal Jordan 1986 streaks down the side, my Reed Richardsons? Now, all those Reed Richards looks would have been perfect on me. Instead, had to bick it. And anyways, I'm getting a little bit of salt and pepper in the beard right now, and it's looking daddy's starting to look like a real daddy.
Let's with that sentence, because I can't go anywhere from there, talk baseball for just a minute, Cody Decker. Philadelphia, the first team to snag a divisional championship. They grabbed the NL East last night because the Braves are. They're not really even are. They just kind of are. Is this team, Cody Decker, is this team a World Series team?
They've been a World Series team for like the last 5 years. The question is, can they get over the hump? It's not unlike what I've talked about on this show with you, Rob Brown, and we used to talk about on Saturdays. They're the Buffalo Bills of Major League Baseball. They're astonishing. They have star power. They should have rings on both sets of hands, but they have not a one between the group of them on the Philadelphia roster right now. Can they do it? Yes. Is it losing Zach Wheeler going to end up hurting them? In my opinion, yes.
I don't disagree with any of that. But it's like we talked about this, say, with the Atlanta Falcons before the season. To me, on paper, that team has no reason not to win the NFC South. But I'm also not going to bet on them to win the NFC South until they win the NFC South. Is what you've seen, because even with the loss of a primary starter, it's still a very good rotation. They added probably the best closer in Major League Baseball, and they've got 1-9 go yod power anywhere they want it. What has been the holdup for this team? Is it just that the Dodgers exist?
It's a combination of the Dodgers exist, but as much as I want to say that the Dodgers exist, the Dodgers won two World Series in the past, 15 years? I mean, honestly, since 1988, they've only won two, and one of those is in 2020, which everyone insists is not a real World Series. It's just this team is predicated on offense. This team is predicated on hitting the long ball. You have to do it for an entire month. Like, look at the Seattle Mariners right now. They're on an absolute heater. Am I ready to jump on the Seattle Mariners? No. Do I want to? Yes, but they've hurt me in the past, and I don't want to get all excited because they're on a 9-game heater right now. Same thing with the Phillies. They can go on a 2-week heater as good as any team in Major League Baseball, and their bats could carry them, and their arms could be a disaster. At the end of the day, once those bats stop going, and it doesn't take much, it just means they got to stop going for one game. Two games in a 7-game series, that's a serious, serious problem. So you need your arms to be as healthy as possible. I agree with you on that closer pickup in Duran, but he's been not great since they got him. He's starting to get it back together, but here's the deal, man. You lose a Zach Wheeler, and you're not going to be having a Sanchez in October either because of the PED suspension. You're really running out a 3-man rotation in October. You got the offense to do it, but at the end of the day, can you guys really sustain this for an entire 35-day run? I don't know. The Dodgers are getting healthy. The Padres got a good pitching staff. Who knows going to get that last wild card spot? Because I honestly think it's up for grabs as the Mets continue to plunder themselves.
Yeah, by the way, what the hell is that?
Hilarious.
Okay, hilarious. I know it's hilarious, but like why?
Because their pitching sucks. Their pitching always sucked. We knew that going into the year. They have arms, but at the end of the day, we had to bank it all on Frankie Montas, and we knew that wasn't going to be much. Sean Manaea, he always gets hurt. Senga's been up and down for the last couple of years. When he's healthy, he's fantastic. But at the end of the day, they try to make these bullpen moves that didn't really amount to much. Unfortunately, on paper, they absolutely did. And offensively, they're streaky, not unlike the Phillies. Offensively, they can go toe-to-toe with just about anybody. The one saving grace I could definitely say about their offense, well, I could say multiple saving graces, but Pete Alonso's having a monster year. And dude, the non-all-star who has the third highest odds for MVP as we currently stand with Juan Soto, the best season everyone keeps claiming is a terrible season. He's one of three players in the history of Major League Baseball, as of right now, to have a 40 home run season, a 30 stolen base season, and a 115 walk season. He's going to be the third player ever to do that. Not an all-star, though.
The question I've got to go, because I remember on Bet for the Cycle us talking early in the season about how the Mets pitching out of the gate was like unacceptably good. It's like not you, like you have no right to be where you are. And the take was, the law of averages at some point is going to catch up with you. But I feel like we haven't just come back to average. Like, we are going to get to average because now we've dropped well below that. And it's kind of the same spot where I'm looking at the NL and going, the teams that I think are playing the best baseball right now are playing the best baseball with the bats. And historically speaking, that's a really good way not to win the championship. Is this a go ticket, take a ticket out on the American League to win the World Series point because of that?
As much as I want to say yes, I think they're in the same kind of conundrum right now. Look at the American League as opposed to the National League. I look at the National League and I got four teams and I'm like, that's a World Series team. That's a World Series team. That's a World Series team. I look at the American League and I look at three teams or maybe four that I'm like, they'll be in the World Series, but can they handle whoever comes out of the National League? If the Phillies come out of the National League, I'm putting my money on the Phillies. If it's the Dodgers, I'm putting my money on the Dodgers. If it's the Padres, I'm putting my money on the Padres. Blue Jays do intrigue me with their 88 wins, man. And they've just been playing some great baseball, winning 7 of their last 10, not to mention winning 5 in a row. Offensively, they're great. Pitching-wise, man, that Shane Bieber pickup, dude, is going to end up being the most magnificent pickup ever if they get all the way to the World Series. And the Red Sox and the Yankees are back at it again, which makes baseball in October way more fun. And the question becomes, do the Seattle Mariners hold on? Do the Houston Astros hold on with the Cleveland Guardians still three games behind, or the Texas Rangers three games behind? It's going to be an interesting little time here, but I still look at that National League, dude, and I'm starting to wonder, is this the year where one of these quote-unquote small ball teams actually breaks through? Because there is a team that I'm looking at, man, and it's a team that you and I have never really had faith in, because death taxes and the Brewers get knocked out of the first round of the playoffs year in, year out, and I enjoy that as a guy that was technically employed by that organization. That being said, Pat Murphy's got these guys running on all cylinders. They are pitching good, and they use every aspect of the game. It's college baseball in Major League Baseball over there in Milwaukee right now.
And you know how I feel about some college baseball, Cody Dick.
Sadly, I do.
It's the best.
The worst.
Best postseason in all of American sports.
Unwatchable, baseball. Unwatchable, old-fashioned, pingy baseball.
Chicago. They get Mike Soroka back, but they are putting him into a relief role. PCA had a two and a half week stretch where he was out, but season-wide numbers, the numbers are very impressive for PCA. This team is intriguing to me because they have been a team that, like, consistently nobody's believed in, but yet they still hang around. They're not going to get the division, but they keep hanging around at the top of that wild card list. Is this team a threat?
Absolutely, they're a threat. At the end of the day, every single team that gets into October is a threat. Look 2 years ago when we ended up with the Texas Rangers, Arizona Diamondback World Series. Even though Rob Brown and myself told everybody to watch out for an Arizona Diamondbacks, Texas Rangers World Series, we were the only ones I could think of that was saying that when October began that year. But this is just kind of an interesting dichotomy. I don't think it's the same old baseball. It's not the same old, we got all the stars all of a sudden. If that's the case, the Dodgers should have 120 wins. Granted, a lot of that has to do with the IL contribution by the entire team as the season went forward. But at the end of the day, I don't know what we're going to get this October. I really don't. I'm looking at this October. Last year was something I walked into going like, dude, I know exactly what we're going to get. It's going to be Dodgers. It's going to be Yankees. It's going to be exactly what we want. This year, I'm going in with a bit of a question mark. Do the Dodgers get healthy enough in time? Do the Padres topple the Dodgers in the West when it comes to playoff time? Do the Phillies finally get over this horrific hump? And you mentioned the Chicago Cubs. Listen, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody offensively, that's for sure. You and me both agree that their pitching leaves a little bit to be desired. It's October baseball, man. Crazy things happen in October baseball. And we're also assuming that everybody that's healthy now will remain healthy. I don't remember a season where I've just seen so many star players and good players and their backups just go down nonstop. This has been an astonishing year when it comes to the injury reports.
Cody Decker, former Major League Baseball player, former co-host of mine on the BetMGM Network.
Former.
We're cooking. All right. All right. Last one. We'll let you go, Deck. There are rumors swirling right now, and Brian Snicker, the manager of the Atlanta Braves, kind of stoked this fire a week ago when he said, there's a little unfinished business. He hasn't decided, should I stay or should I go now? May want to hang around for one mirror because you don't want to walk off on a season like Atlanta had this year where they were an NL favorite coming in. And it just ended up being, I think, maybe the most disappointing year of Braves baseball of my adult life anyway. And I know a lot of Braves fans have justified, well, it's been injuries. This team has had the most incredible run of bad luck of maybe Braves franchise history. Cool. I also think there were a lot of spots where it just felt like there wasn't direction. It was a rudderless team. There were that like 2 weeks ago for no reason at all. I got Matt Olson batting second because reasons. I got Ronnie batting sixth when he's got five dingers in seven games. Like, I know you're just trying to make something happen, but I can't think of a reason other than brand loyalty. And that feels like you're sacrificing the direction of a franchise for one guy. Why, if Brian Snicker comes back, I would have optimism for this team. But do the folks who say it was a bad luck season, no matter who's in charge about bat next year, is there cause for optimism for the Braves next year if Snit decides to come back and if Anthopoulos lets him, slash should he?
Yeah, so that's a funny scenario altogether, kind of hinting that I got my unfinished business. I get that, but at the end of the day, it's not really his decision. It's the decision of the people ahead of him, and I know he's got so much cachet with that organization and that fandom, but at the end of the day, I'll ask you, Rob Brown, as a Braves fan, do you want Snit back in this job next year? Because as an outsider looking in, I personally wouldn't. I think it's time to kind of move on just to seeing how these last couple of years have kind of deteriorated. And you also have to keep in mind, it's not unlike the NFL. There's one thing that drives me nuts when the NFL, you know, coaching hacksaw always happens every year because we're sitting here talking about, well, who are we going to get in? You have to replace somebody with someone better. So the question is, who can you get that's better than Snitker? Is a Bob Melvin going to be available? Is a Bruce Bochy going to be leaving Texas? Is he going to be available? Are they going to start new and young? Is this an organization and a lineup that you should be starting new and young? I look at this team right now. It's a World Series team right now on paper. You need a World Series caliber manager to take this team forward, not somebody new, in my opinion. That being said, doesn't mean they can't get a young guy and get him out there and absolutely make some magic happen. But in my opinion, if you're going to move on from Snitker, you better have somebody waiting in the wings that's better.
Skip
Which
Schumacher.
Skip Schumacher?
Yeah.
get your hands on some Skip Schumacher.
Cody Decker, former Major League Baseball player, former official co-host of Rob Brown. We're going to be cooking something. We are in the process of cooking something up. We'll let you know when we get that going.
Someone hire Skip Schumacher.
Atlanta. I'm just saying, you get a reaction like that out of Cody Decker, it's the right move. Deck, you icon, my brother. Good to have you back. Let's do it again next week. What do you think?
You short-haired, handsome man. Let's do it.
Looking forward to it. Ladies and gentlemen, the iconic Cody Decker. We're back after this to wrap up the hour. The Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, prior to the haircut, looked like he could be in the band Creed. Rob, post-haircut, looks like a great value boy band singer. Thank you, Steven.
I don't know. Maybe early Weezer? You might be able to pull off.
Yeah, I've changed alt-rock genres. I went from, like, hard alt-rock to, like, alt-alt-rock, you know? Now it's like emo alt-rock now. And I'm okay with that, too. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Real quick, couple of NFL stories to get to. Oh, yeah, Seth Rollins back on the net, carrying the
belt
around.
It's not my fault that you don't always get. I mean, sometimes when you point, it's just pointing. I mean, you know, I just.
You're pointing more important than my pointing most of the time. Where are and we're gonna do tomorrow our NFL power rankings. But there's a couple of teams through 2 weeks so far. Here's the question that I have. What teams, whether they are at the top of the NFL or at the bottom, what teams do we know what they are? Like, what teams can we say? It's 2 weeks, and it's only 2 weeks, but I feel like we know who this team is now. I think there's a couple of them. I think we know who the Buffalo Bills are. I think the Bills are going to be threatening the AFC number one seed again. And to be honest with you right now, I would say right now, pending obviously injury or catastrophe of whatever sort, I got to think right now the Bills are the AFC's one seed. Yes, it is week two. Let's relax a little bit. But also, let's not, because I'm pretty sure they're the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, after 2 weeks, you would probably have to say they're the strongest team in the AFC. Although, Chargers look pretty good, too.
Chargers do look good. I'm not putting them with Josh Allen just yet. I think we know what the Eagles are going to be now. Like, I think we got a pretty good read on who the Eagles are right now. I think the Eagles just are the Eagles. And I came into the year saying, I don't think the Eagles are going to be the Eagles this year, because I think the blueprint, even though nobody successfully carried it out last year, I think the blueprint on how to beat Philly is pretty much set now. Take Saquon, or not, you can't take Saquon out of the equation, but limit Saquon Barkley and you're going to be fine. The Chiefs did what they could to limit Saquon Barkley. And in what was a very hilarious interaction between Chris Jones and Saquon Barkley at the end of the game, where Chris Jones yelled across the line at Saquon Barkley, "You didn't even have 100 yards," and Jalen Hurts yelled back at him, "We won the game, shut your ass up." Like, objectively hilarious to a not Chiefs fan. I don't think you can. Like, I just think that's where we are.
Are you going to bring that up every day? I'm just curious.
I can play it. I clipped it. It's pretty good.
Wow.
It's pretty funny. I'm going to add one more team to this list that was not on this list the other day to me. I'm going to add the Green Bay Packers to this list. That's a scary football team. And here's the interesting part about Green Bay. Green Bay looks like a scary football team right now, and they don't even know who their number one wide receiver is yet, right? Jaden Reed has a broken collarbone. He takes a step back. He is going to be out for a while. Their tight end right now is Tucker Kraft. He leads the Packers with 8 catches, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns. They don't know who the guy is. Is it Dontavian Wicks, who has a team-leading 6 catches? Is it Romeo Doubs, who has a team-leading 96 yards? Like, that, their top two wide receivers right now have 6 catches, and their top yardage guy has 96 yards. That's not a tight end. They haven't found their number one yet, and yet they're terrifying right now. I think there are 3 teams at the top that we know who they are: Buffalo, Philly, and Green Bay. What about at the bottom of the list? I don't think I'm putting New Orleans there yet. I don't think I'm putting Carolina there yet. I do think we can put Cleveland down there yet. Joe Flacco, who we celebrated in a week one loss, turned the ball over 4 times against Baltimore. And y'all, Baltimore's defensive backs, not that good. Like, that's not a team you can turn it over 4 times. I'm not putting the Giants down there. I will put the Dolphins down there. I think we know who the Dolphins are. And if we have time for it, if not, we'll get to it tomorrow. There was a clip going around of Mike McDaniel that is It's another one of those things that it's like, dude, if you were 2-0 and up on top of the AFC East, this clip will be fine. But at 0-2 and at the bottom of that, not great, Bob.
It is, and this is the second time I've heard a similarity. It's a Bobby Boucher answer. He sounds more and more like Bobby Boucher when he's up there.
It kind of is and does, to be honest with you. It kind of is and does. And we'll get to that either later in the final hour, or we will get out there in the tomorrow show. Is there anybody else on this list that we know who they are? I think that's the list. I think we know who the Cleveland Browns are. I think we know who the Miami Dolphins are at the bottom. And at the top, I think we know who Buffalo is. I think we know who Philly is. And I think we know who Green Bay is. I think you could make the argument that, like, maybe we're ready to put the Chargers there. But also I'm kind of not, because, like, you got three turnovers. It's kind of like the LSU thing. You got three turnovers against Geno, and yeah, you won 20-9. Like, it's a 2-score win, but it's not like it was a... It never felt like a blowout. In fairness, I didn't watch the second half of this game. It was very late. This game kicked off at 10 o'clock. Even I didn't have that gas in me. I think the Chargers are a good team, and at 2-0, you've got to acknowledge them as such. But I don't think I'm ready to say, like, oh, we know who this team is, and this team is, you know, a contender. So who would you put on that list? Who would you take off that list? When we come back, final hour of the show, got a few more sound clips I want to play for you. We'll hand out a couple of awards and more. All of that coming up after One Who Is Real. Lonzo gives you a sports flash.
As opposed to people who are not and fake. You know who's not fake? Baker! Baker Mayfield led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on an 80-yard touchdown drive for 2019 win over the Houston Texans last night. Mayfield finished the night 25 of 38 for 215 yards and a pair of touchdowns, while the Bucs ran for 169 yards. Tampa holds sole possession of first in the NFC South with a 2-0 record. The LA Chargers are 2-0 after 20-9 win over the Raiders. Justin Herbert had another big game, going 19-27 for 242 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Geno Smith was picked off three times in the losing effort, and rookie Ashton Jeanty was held to 43 yards. Atlanta Braves opened up a four-game road set with the Nationals with an 11-3 victory. Spencer Strider got the win, giving up four hits and one run with six strikeouts across seven innings, hurling 91 pitches. That's a lot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.